How did your grandfather come to Oklahoma?
He participated in the April 22nd, 1889 run into the unassigned lands, was the great land rush.
So he came out of Kansas?
Yes, and I do not know where the dividing line between Kansas and Oklahoma was, where they shot the gun off at noon and they all made a run for their land.
And he was there?
There when it was done.
When that shot was fired?
Yes.
So he found his 160 acres where?
South of Perkins, Oklahoma, which is south of Stillwater, which would be about 11, 13 miles, something like that. They had the Army engineers come and stake out all the land in the 160 acres. And they had stakes on them. And when you got to the piece of land you thought was going to be yours, you had to go and pull up the stakes. Well, maybe there was somebody else on the other corner, and so they all had to fight it out. But he had the stakes that he needed, and the land grant office then was in Guthrie, which was our first capital. After they had lived on the land and produced whatever they could grow, at the end of 5 years, you went back to the land grant office and you showed proof that you had actually proved up on the land, and then you got it. You actually earned your 160 acres.
Prior to the run, and he didn't go sooner than...
No. He would not have boomer sooner, no.
All right. Did they register then with a land office? And then those stakes, how were those stakes placed there? Had he gone out ahead of time so that he...
No, he didn't. No.
Somebody else from the land office?
The land office and the Army engineers did all the work about the stakes and where the 160 acres were. And anybody that wanted the land, then they had to pull up the stakes and have them in their hands when they went to register that that was the farm they got.
So they'd go back to that land office and say, I have the stakes.
Uh-huh. But if somebody else was on the other corner, well, then you had to fight out who was going to get that stake.
On the other corner of the 160 acres.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't have to fight?
I don't know. He never told me.
But some of them were duking it out there, weren't they?
Yes, they were. And over at Enid, when they had the 1893 Cherokee Strip, some of them took their family in the wagon with them, you know, and they pulled the wagon with the children. And this one little girl fell off, so they just left her there on that piece of land because they knew the better land was further on. Well, when they got there, all the stakes were pulled up, so they had to go back and get their little girl. The stakes were still there, so they pulled them up, and that was what they took. And in later years, it is one of the most oil-producing farms around Enid anywhere. They're a wealthy family now.
Because they went back.
Because they went back to the farm nobody wanted. They didn't think it was good to farm on was their problem.
And the little girl was there?
Yes, she stayed there till they came and picked her up.
This was all within the same day, I would
imagine. It was the same day.
And it turned out that that land was an oil-producing land.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
This was a relative?
No, it's just I know some of the things that happened that people tell me. Right. I have a daughter over at Enid, and she knew all about it. And she was telling me that, and I says, well, my grandfather didn't have that luck. We didn't get an oil-producing farm.
So I guess he went into the land office, and then there was a map showing mm-hmm. where land
where
had already been claimed, and so that one hadn't been claimed yet. So he says,
he got his name on it.
Was he in a covered wagon?
No, he rode a horse. He did that because he thought he would get there quicker than if he was hauling the family. So he went back to Douglas, you know, to get his family, and he brought them down. He had three daughters. They lived on that land.
How soon was he able to build any structures to live in?
They had sort of a log house, and when I was a girl, we went down and I saw the house they lived in.
So he built that log house?
Yes.
Beginning days, I suppose,
I suppose. So they
claimed
had
the land.
Uh-huh. And he was a drayman, and I don't know if you know what that is or what a dray is.
Tell us.
A dray is a wagon that is pulled by a horse or horses, and he made scheduled trips to Kansas to go get flour and sugar because they didn't have that and there weren't grocery stores very much. He did that, and he helped them move their furniture, different things. It was kind of like what we call a moving van now. Mm-hmm. But he went periodically to bring back things that they needed that they didn't have in the stores in Perkins or Stillwater. And then when they later moved to Stillwater, he was still a drayman there for the city of Stillwater.
Was he married at the land rush day?
Yes, he was. So they were married in 1884 on my grandmother's birthday. So she was 20 years old when they got married, which is old for a lot of people at that time. If you weren't married when you were about 16, well, then you were an old maid.
We don't know how long it took for them to move the family there. It was after he built the log cabin.
I expect.
And then they lived there and began to raise a family.
And my grandmother taught at the eighth grade school, which they had. She also helped all the things on the farm that a wife would do then. They had hens. They kept the eggs, and she took them to Perkins, to a little store, to sell them. And she rode on horseback, side saddle. It was about 5 or 6 miles. She had to ford the Cimarron River to get there. She had 9 dozen eggs, and they sold for 3 cents a dozen.